This following episode contains spoilers for the film or films being discussed. You have been warned. We all remember the big moments in the movies we see. The big set pieces, the famous dialogue, the twists, the naked times. But film is an entity made up of hundreds of little moments that either make them special or relegate them to obscurity. We are here to talk about those moments. Welcome to Movie Microscope.
Kick it, Movie Microscope.
Today's episode is Terminal Velocity.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest Movie Microscope. My name is Nick Nunziata, and I'm your gracious host, alongside me, the absolutely manitouzy, sucking screwsy, backdoor floozy, prophecy bear loving Justin Waddell. How's it going?
Man, we're going bad.
Oh.
It's going poorly, man. I've been sick. I've been down and out,
I thought you meant things were going bad in our world and country. No, so you're sick, okay.
I think it's fine out there. Oh, no.
Okay.
No, but I've been battling a cold for a week and a half. Feeling a little better.
Well, I mean, it's better than what you've been doing is battling being hot all the time.
I just lost that battle recently.
But you sound better.
Yeah, when I talked to you at the start of the week.
It's funny how you get well just in time to go to the casino. It's funny how that works.
Gonna go play some cards. Bring my mediocre skills.
You like it.
You're not coming?
Hell no.
There's room. There's room in the hotel room.
I'm sure there's room in the failure zone, too, for me.
Oh, I wish you would come.
I
need a shoulder to cry on. Anyway, Nick, we sailed past 250, sir.
Yeah.
250 episodes. And I got a prediction.
We're not going to make another 250 more. That's a fact. What's your prediction?
I was going to say the next 250, that's when we start to multiply the old audience. You know what I'm talking about? That's when we hit the charts.
If it was going to happen, it would have happened.
What are you talking about, man? They always say you got to put in a 250, and then prior to that, another 150 for another podcast over a period of 20 years before you ever get listeners.
No, what you have to do is market yourself and say the word like all the time and make it about you. To me, that's how you really succeed.
I'm willing to do it. I do say like enough. I'm willing to market myself. I'm going to go pound the pavement next week, door to door.
Is that what you call it?
It's when the thing masturbates. Is that what you're saying?
You're a fan of Pavement, are you not?
I love the band Pavement. Yes, one of my all-time favorite bands.
You pound it all the time.
But they are, they reunited. They were actually touring. I didn't go see them on tour. I'm too old, I guess. No, I would have gone. I just didn't. I don't know if they rolled through here, did they?
Would you say that Pavement is road hardened at this point?
I guess. Okay. Hey, I heard a clip from old Anthony Jeselnik that I like that he was ripping comedians for saying that they can't, that they are saying, I'm getting canceled for what I said. And he's like, why don't you try being funny? Like, he was just, he's like, how about write a joke? You know, entertain people and then complain. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And the reason I sort of bring that up is I listened to a little bit of this hot comic named Matt Rife or something.
Because he that whole thing with the abuse joke.
So I actually listened to him prior to his controversy. I like because he kept coming.
He's been showing up a lot.
And I thought he was terrible, but he's a YouTube comedian that got famous, like right from like from TikTok or something. But yeah, that's the thing is he doesn't seem to have jokes. He just kind of says stuff funny, you know, in funny ways. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't need to criticize him.
No,
too
it does
much.
Matter. And I'll tell you, this thing irritates the shit out of me.
He's got a great name, Matt Rife.
I don't like this phenomenon of people having to put themselves in these videos. The construction worker that just shows him looking at different places on the job site, and it's different calamity videos from construction, or you know, somebody who. Who's looking around their house and it's different cat videos. Don't make it about you. Take yourself out of it. You're not a star. You're a piece of shit.
That's kind of how people are getting famous, though. I followed through over COVID. I followed a bunch of people that were doing that kind of front-facing camera comedy that I quite like.
Can't handle it. Well, and the
Vinny
thing,
for example, is pretty funny.
And that's one of the reasons I can't handle that guy that everybody likes, his Trump impersonation, that Chauvin guy, whatever.
Lisa Gilroy.
Yeah, he may do a good Trump impersonation, but his face sucks. His face sucks.
Yeah, he is pretty good at Trump. I don't follow him, but I bet he was crestfallen whenever the other guy got the job on SNL. I bet he was up for it because he has got good Trump impersonation.
I mean, the best Trump impersonation is that comedian, though. What's his name? The one that's also sort of on the bubble.
James Dawson Johnson. Or James Austin.
No. The guy that was on SNL for the short amount of time. He's famous now.
Yeah, James Austin Johnson.
The guy that just had his show, his comedy show that was real big, Shane Gillis.
Oh, he does Trump?
He does an amazing Trump. An amazing Trump.
I don't know his comedy. I don't think I've ever seen
him. We should watch that one together. It's actually pretty damn good.
His comedy special?
Yeah, because he's sort of a. I mean, that, I think it was. I was. I know your favorite. I was watching an interview with Louis C.K. who was talking about how that guy is great because he's a red state comedian who people are predetermined to hate because of that element, and he completely defies. You know, he actually is. He calls everybody on their shit. He's pretty good. He reminds me of my friend Kyle actually, which makes me happy. But I still don't like when these people have to make themselves the star of the video.
You're cranky about it.
I really am, and history has shown us that, yeah, that may be successful. You may get away with it for a while, but long term?
I've been wasting a lot of time on YouTube, and there's the thumbnails drive me crazy. Speaking of being old, just like I watch movie reviews, and people will have a shot of themselves, their face, and then over the poster, and then their face kind of tells you what they think of the movie. It's smiling, it's good, sad, disappointed in the movie, you know, things like that, or serious.
I hate YouTube videos. Well, here's the thing.
We're extremely old.
No. I was having major technical issues yesterday. I spent the majority of the day dealing with it. And all I wanted to do was go find an article that I could read to learn how to fix it. Instead, all it fed me were videos that ended up not dealing with the problem and just showcasing how annoying these people were trying to build their brand rather than try to provide the information. Just give me the words. Just give me the words on the screen. Let me, you know. Can you imagine if all recipes now were you have to watch a video of some mudflap talking?
I think they kind of are. They do a lot of video recipes. I was following a lot of those vid recipes during COVID.
Oh my God. Anything else going on? Because this is heartbreaking.
I know. I feel like we are sounding so old, but look, we're not old.
No,
we are young,
and that's fine. No, we're old. Young. We're on the way out. We're on the way out, Justin. I've outlived my father already. It's done. We're fucked.
But we're young, right? Like, we're still...
No, getting older. By the way, I finished my rewatch of The Sopranos.
Wow, you did that quickly.
Well, I didn't sleep much.
I'm having trouble sleeping as well. I keep waking up going, I'm too young. You know, I keep startling awake. What'd you think? Is it okay? It's
still great. The funny thing is as much because that show came out during peak Chud days. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was reviewing seasons when they were coming out, but I know I watched them all, and I watched them all in real time, but I was blown away by how the last four seasons were a mystery to me for the most part. I remember little moments from it, but I did not remember sweeping elements of that series. I remember vividly the first two or three seasons, and the rest not as much, and it was lovely. I was afraid it would age poorly, and it has aged fantastically.
Who's your character in that you love?
I mean, it would bounce around.
Yeah.
It would bounce around.
Adriana survived, right?
She made it. Obviously, Gandolfini's insane, and it's so funny how that pilot episode is bad.
It's bad?
It's not the show. I know it was famous. You watch that episode now, and it's almost like those old Garfield comics where John and Garfield looked weird.
Didn't Christopher kill somebody?
Or the old Simpsons. I'm sorry?
Didn't Christopher kill somebody in the first episode?
Shit, I don't remember. Yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, I mean, he kills people in other parts of the show, too, I think. But
spoiler.
The people that I appreciated more this time around was Carmella, Edie Falco, AJ... The son.
Wow.
Probably some of the supporting people, like Patsy, but and Artie Bucco. But
you always like
obviously, the little Steven was a caricature. Polly Walnuts was a caricature. And I don't know if you saw this. There was this big thing that went out. The most hated characters in TV history.
I didn't see it.
Here's what it was. It was horrible terrorists and women.
Oh God! Of course.
Literally, it was. People that were awful, and then Skyler White.
Of course.
And Raita Totoro's character.
Yeah.
Equal to terrorism.
Now, you mentioned that you really liked AJ this time around. Robert Eiler, right, is who played him? Can I ask you, one of our finest actors? Is that a yes or no? He's still killing it, right? He's out there?
He retired. He had some trouble, but I him and Meadow have a podcast now. I know you're surprised that they have a podcast, but I did a deep dive because I'd recently, the reason I did this revisit was I had read the book and done the podcast with Michael Imperioli and Steven Sciarrapa.
Oh, they have one.
And
too.
Yeah, and they did a book of it and they did a TV show of it. So just kind of wanted to go back. And I've been missing James Gandolfini, which is one of the reasons this movie makes, the timing is so good.
Did you see the Sopranos prequel that came out? Did you
I loved it.
You loved it?
People hated it.
I didn't see it. I heard good things. I heard our boy was pretty good in it.
You got to narrow that down.
Prolix
Bernthal, Alessandro Novello, he was good. I think a lot of people were upset that there was a black character that was a lead.
Probably. But Gandolfini's son was in it, right? Looking like Gandolfini. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking like a tiny, tiny Gandolfini running around.
Gandolfini the Great.
Never aged, dude, by the way. Like, he looks, in this movie, he looks the same as
he looks about 60 pounds lighter.
He does look a little svelte, yeah.
On the show, we call the movie Microscope. It's a show where we zoom in. We count the stains in Neptune's undershirt. We combine the Skywalker and Skinwalker ranches. We swap the Pope's shoes with Heelys. We give the Mucus King a sponge bath. We feed a lumberjack out of a tumbler. We Boca Raton. Get a woke-ass cake and bake it. Do the Newton's Cradle with my balls and my friend's balls. Get all slavin'. Watch movies through a set of disease destroyed serpentine ocular eyes that have been punished by sight, rewarded with daughters. Watch a movie, see what makes or breaks your legacy, the listener. So we're talking about Made to Order. We're going to talk about the scene where Ally Sheedy learns a very powerful lesson in acting by falling in love with Michael Ontkean on screen. How about the little moments? You know, and Terminal Velocity is all about him, baby.
I got a little zoom in on Made to Order that you might not know.
One of your first jacking off movies.
Unofficial sequel to Man's Best Friend.
That would explain a lot.
What'd you say? One of my first
smashing it movies. I saw that movie in the teatro. I saw Un Pellicula El Teatro.
I think I did see it as well. I didn't remember Michael Ontkean from Twin Peaks fame was in it.
Don't say fame.
He didn't come back for the return.
Don't say fame. He was. Didn't he? Wasn't he sick or something?
I think he wasn't sick. I think he just decided to not come back. And so then in the show's reality, he was sick. His character. And Robert Forster.
Can you imagine? Imagine being Michael Ontkean and saying no to an acting job.
He probably was done acting. Maybe he wants you to be forever in his memory. In your memory,
is did not stop useful. Anyone else in that show, by the way. Because acting wasn't one of the touchstones that was needed. You just needed to be willing to go on the journey with Dave.
One of the best actors, I think, underrated actor in it.
Michael Ontkean.
What's her face?
Don't say Cheryl
Laura Palmer.
Lee.
I'm losing everybody's name these days, but what's her name? What is her name?
Cheryl Lee.
Cheryl Lee. I always thought she was such an underrated actress. She's so good.
That's code for Justin thinks she's super hot.
I think she's pretty, but I don't think she's super hot. I think she's just a great actress. You know, and then McLaughlin, of course, playing stiff, being funny. I love him in it.
Sherilyn Fenn, Laura Flynn.
I mean, Sherilyn Fenn, she was the beauty, right? She was so cute. But she also, like, tapped out. She wasn't in The Return that much. Just a little bit.
She's still recovering from Two Moon Junction and our boy delivering husky sex blows.
She was, I used to follow Sherilyn Fenn on social media, and she went super Christian.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, good for you, but I unfollowed.
You know what Sherilyn Fenn sounds like?
What?
Somebody from the Star Wars universe. Is that Empress Nest? No, it's Sherilyn Fenn. All right, just check in.
You see Alden Ehrenreich was in the news a little bit because he had some commentary.
About Robert Downey being his buddy?
No, he was on the Oppenheimer like extras or something. He said, as an aside, he was doing some press or an interview and goes, you know what's great is to not have to lie during these things.
Yeah, I did like that.
So everybody thinks he's talking about Solo.
He's great, but I read it because I got the Oppenheimer and I recently watched the special features on it. He's used to actors doing their scenes and then just being on with their day. And Downey took him on a road trip and they became friends, which is amazing.
Did you, I didn't know that David Krumholtz was in it so much.
Yeah.
Is he good?
Of course he is. He's David Krumholtz.
Yeah. I saw an interview today where he was talking about how he auditioned for Nolan and he just got a few pages. So he's like, all right, this is a great bit part. And he auditioned and he thought it went terribly. And then Nolan gave him the part. And so he's all excited just to get the movie. And then he started reading the script. And he's like, oh shit, I'm in it. I have a part. So I thought that was cool.
And Nolan said, go ahead and gain 40 pounds for the role. And then Krumholtz said, way ahead of you.
I think he's since shaved off some of that weight.
Yeah, he has.
David Krumholtz. He talk about a long timer. My man's been doing it forever.
And he's really good. You know, it's funny. He had a little glory board in his apartment. A glory board marching like life goals. You know, like a bucket list. But he calls it a glory board.
I didn't know he had a glory board.
Crossing Nolan onto that board was big.
And so he has a, let me take notes. He has a glory board, and how you update the board, you cross onto it.
Exactly. Interesting. Crossed him on. He's like, I've worked with Ed Burns now and Nolan. Okay. Crossed them both on.
Just has two names on his glory board.
I think that may be the secret with our show, as we market glory boards.
Could be. I'm gonna get a glory board going. What do people have? What are those things called that you renamed?
It's a bucket list.
They're vision boards, right?
Okay.
That's what you're renaming. But do you ever board. Have
a it's a vision board with a hole in it.
Sorry, I'll be coughing a little bit.
The Dracula said.
Hey, I did see that Dracula.
I saw it too.
The last voyage of the Demeter.
Or Demeter. It was. I like how they actually show the creature plenty, which is uncommon.
I heard bad things about the creature. I thought the creature was kind of cool, actually.
Yep, he's cute.
He was an ugly-looking Dracula. But anyway, on my Letterboxd review, you probably didn't read it. Did you read it?
I've never been. I won't be on Letterboxd. I'm sorry.
I said if I was on that ship, I would have called a timeout and said, hey, timeout, Dracula. Then I would have rubbed the ship all over with garlic, and he would have had to flee. And then he would have been mad that I didn't call time in. But it would be too late. And then I would have a no shipping vampire policy put into place. That's how I'd win. What do you think?
That's good.
Do you ever rub garlic on a ship? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Is that brown wool in the background?
Yeah, it's trickling.
Hi, brown wool.
Brown wool's great. So let's talk about the movie. We're 22 minutes into this. Terminal Velocity, a near and dear one for me. A David Tui / Darren Serafian joint.
Yeah, David Tui wrote it.
And it's funny. This is as Shane Black as I think David Tui has ever written.
David Tui, a person that you and I have long admired. Like, we've had that in common. We've always loved David Tui.
Still do.
And he is one of those kind of genre guys that is innovative and I think underrated. And you know, a good director, a good writer, obviously. But mostly he spends his time these days trying to get Riddick sequels off the ground.
It works. He's doing it.
Well, because Vin keeps making $1 billion and then he'll throw Tui a bone, which makes me love Vin Diesel. Yeah, that he still
cool your jets Riddick. There, sport.
I don't like Vin Diesel that much, but that makes me happy that he still, like, calls up David Tui and says, let's make another Riddick movie.
There's like an evolutionary chain. Fred Decker to David Tui to Shane Black, I think. I think there's a shared DNA there.
Shane Black, obviously the more successful of the three that you mentioned.
And the most canceled, too.
Shane Black got canceled?
He got semi-canceled before the Predator movie came out.
I think he hired a friend that had a checkered past. I can't remember the issues.
And I think Olivia, what's her name, the cutie? Olivia Munn
had a problem with
had
it,
some yes. problems with him, yeah.
I think, too, I think, sorry, Shane Black apologized for all that. But, you know, it went under the wall. I think it all went away because that movie was such a huge fail. But I miss Shane Black. He's not around. Like, he's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you need more. I don't need him doing Predator. I need him doing nice guys type movies.
That might be his best movie. I think that's better than Kiss Kiss.
It is. Bang. It is.
And I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but I think... The Nice Guys is better.
It is better. Undeniably better.
It's funnier.
And not as precious about itself.
Right, but I mean, Kiss Kiss...
And nobody says ficus in it, which is good.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is great. I will. I do love it so much, just because Shannon Sossamon's in it. That's it. That's the only reason I like it.
Corbin Burnson in this.
Dash Mihawk in this.
Terminal Velocity is about a skydiver. He gets involved in a Russian plot.
A skydiving instructor. A bad boy.
This is peak Sheen for me. This is peak Charlie Sheen for me.
I think this is what he says is one of his favorite films he's ever made.
That's great.
He had a blast making it. And it shows. Like, he's having so much fun in this movie.
Translation, Natasha let him touch it.
This movie made me remember that I had a huge crush, or you know, whatever they call it, a fan crush, Natasha Kinski back in the day, and her dad.
Klaus. Sounds like somebody's doing jumping jacks above me.
Is it Brownwall?
It's my loud children just stomping around like a bunch of goddamn heathens, fucking hill giants up there.
Is your daughter home for through Christmas?
Until January.
That's an amazing thing. So that huge.
Tell that to my wallet.
What's happening?
The amount of food I've been buying. Holy cow!
Yeah, our kids today we got burgers for dinner, and they both upgraded from the kids' meal finally, and that hurt for sure. But that's okay. That's what happens, right? I said, "Daddy has a kids' meal tonight, kids."
And then now they had a full size Crystal Burger.
Went to Moxie Burger, my friend.
The hell's that? I hate that name.
It's over here by us. It's not great. It's just convenient. You know, it's fine.
Do they do a good turkey burger?
You know, I can't touch turkey burgers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was. Remember when I ate one, I think maybe the night we met Darren Aronofsky, and I ended up super sick and maybe in the hospital from it.
You blame turkey?
I said I could never eat a turkey burger again.
Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite.
I threw up so much.
So let...
and I ended up in the hospital. Do you remember this?
I don't.
And then you told me not to... I said, I'm never eating another turkey burger again. You said, don't blame the turkey burger. You said this.
Well, my stance stands 20 years later.
And I don't think I've had one since. Maybe once.
Let's talk about the movie. Huh? Let's talk about The Roommate's Bra.
Okay, you're going to have to refresh my memory. I watched this movie a week and a half ago. I took notes, and it's like looking at hieroglyphics. Like, what's happening? First of all, this movie is 1994, right? Terminal Velocity.
Big year, yeah.
What were you doing when you saw this? Like, what were you excited? Did you see it in the theater?
I did see it in the theater more than once.
And was it a hit? It was.
It was not.
It was not.
It wasn't.
I think I rented it, and I was surprised about how quality like it felt. Like it, because I think when it came out, it seemed like it was like a low budget Point Break.
Well, it was also Drop Zone had a better marketing budget. Right. With similar plot. Way worse movie, though, in my opinion. I hate that movie.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I did see it. Who was in that? It was Wesley
and... Yancey Butler and Wesley, yeah.
Yancey Butler, yeah.
And I am not a Yancey Butler person. Why? Which is weird, because I usually love people named Yancey.
What was her big show? Witch something?
Oh, yeah, Witchblade. She was on that, right?
She was on Witchblade, yeah.
And he was Witchblade?
And she got super drunk during the making of that show and, I think, fired. I think she had alcohol problems. If I can zoom in and spill some tea 20 years later.
Are you saying she had sticky fingers?
I don't know about that, but I always liked... I kind of like Yancey Butler. She had, like, a gruff, deep, gruff voice, right? Is that her trademark, kind of?
Sure.
Be sarcastic, man. We're zooming in here.
No, sure. I mean, I'm sure. I try not to remember.
I saw this on VHS, and I loved it. And then, who's in this movie? You mentioned our
Let's talk about... Okay, so let's go from most subtle. We'll start with Chris McDonald.
Amazing in this. You got Melvin Van Peebles in this showing up
you
for
do.
A second.
The delectable Margaret Collin in this.
Unbilled in this somehow. Doing a favor for Tui, I guess.
Same thing can be said to her agent.
You got one of the best, what they, you know, before he was placed... replaced by Robert Eiler as the premier American actor. You got Rance Howard in here.
Friend of mine, Rance Howard.
That's right. You did you talked about his number one son with him before, Clint.
It was so great. What's that cute, really pretty girl who I drafted on the Chud draft that's in this
Brooke
movie?
Brooke Langton in this.
Brooke Langton, that's right.
She is not in this. I mean, she's like, must be in the background. I didn't even spot her. Later on, Melrose Place. You might remember her from Keanu Reeves' The Replacements.
That's maybe where I fell in love with her.
Biggest movie.
And you got Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, and you also got Jamie Gandolfini.
You got Natasha Kinski. That's and you got that guy with the giant head, the giant Easter Island head. It looks like John Cleese after a long decay. You know what I'm talking about. Gary Bullock. He played the pilot / funeral director guy. I mean, let's be honest. Let's talk about that roommate, because the movie starts off with this girl driving her car, and then this plane flies over, and she's all freaked out. She's in her room in her apartment trying to get her shit together, and she gets attacked and destroyed. But she is not wearing a bra. And the camera has a ton of fun with that.
I don't remember this. Is she naked?
She's wearing a white tank top. The camera enjoys.
Okay.
And then she gets fish tank killed.
She fights back. She does a good job. There's two men.
We find out later she was a Russian ex-spy. So, of course, everybody carries their ass around.
They dump her in the shower. She's a dead body. And it's sad because you think maybe she'll live. You know, like maybe that she won't die. Because, you know, at the beginning of the movie, it's ominous. She's freaking out. She heads back to the apartment and hurriedly starts to pack. And you know, usually in movies when that happens, that character gets away. They're fine. Never killed. They just like to show them packing and leaving.
The good news is her body is left in a good state, because when she's in the shower, she's dead, but she still looks like her.
She does.
But that body ain't done acting in this film.
You know what was cool about this movie? I thought she drowned, but I read the trivia and they cut out a scene where they're dunking her head in the fish tank and the fish are punching her. So
that's cool.
Yeah, they hate her. They hate. She didn't feed them enough, and that was her revenge.
How were we introduced to Chuck Sheen?
Well, that's a good question.
He does a stunt skydive.
He's got an American flag parachute. Is that correct?
Sure.
Yes, and he's doing. Yeah, and he's doing. He's got smoke. He's got smoke foot. Like a colored smoke coming off his foot or his heel.
Yeah,
he's making quite a show. Doesn't he? Doesn't he do like? He's a little bit of a klutz. Doesn't he kind of crash into something too?
Well, no, he lands, but he, and he pulls off. He's got his ass cheeks out, and it
says what it is. Yeah,
but it's not really his ass. It's a fake ass that he has. But he thought it was a bachelor party, and it was a young girl's birthday party.
That's right. Oh, oops.
And what's his name?
Ditch.
Ditch Brody.
Yeah, his nickname's Ditch. He's actually Dick Brody. Richard.
Well, Richard. Yeah. But Richard Ditch Brody Ditch. Is a great, great character name.
It's almost like a Stallone name. Yeah. Ditch Brody. That is a good nickname.
In the book for Jaws, I think that's what Lorraine Gary was going to do. Because she fucks Matt Haig big time.
Do you think that when they cast Richard Dreyfuss, they had to cut it out because they said this isn't science fiction? No one's going to believe.
Why do you have to hate on Rich?
Richard Dreyfuss is in the news a little bit lately. I think we talked about this. He's a little hurt by his portrayal in that Jaws play.
Yeah, it's fine. He's earned it.
So he gets in trouble for this by his boss, who is Margaret Collin, right? She runs this. Doesn't she run the parachuting school?
It's like a, yeah.
Parachuting business.
And what is Margaret Collins best known for being the wife of the president in Independence Day? Is that right?
Yes.
Or Air Force or something. Independence Day, right?
Independence Day, yeah. She was on TV shows. She's got short hair in this. Let me zoom in.
They try to make her sort of like Gina Davis and Fletch or something in this. I don't know.
The thing about, she's not in this movie at all. Like she's in it to kind of give Charlie Sheen the business at the beginning, and then the movie forgets about her.
They portray a cuteness about her, and she's very forgiving considering how much of a fuck-up he is.
She loves herself some Ditch.
Yeah, I think she does.
The big thing in this movie that they're worried about, what are they worried about that's going to happen to these parachuters?
The FAA is going to shut them down.
They're going to bounce.
Oh.
So you're going to bounce. Maybe they're talking that specifically to Ditch. I just have that in quotes here.
Well, it happens because somebody bounces in this.
They do bounce.
Yeah, the roommate at the beginning.
Anyway, so but what happens?
This movie is punctuated by great Charlie Sheen line deliveries.
Of course.
He is such a smartass in this, and David Tui gives him the best lines. And I'm going to say that I bet you Charlie had something to do with some of them because they seem very Charlie.
Oh, they seem Tui to me. Tui's such a good writer, I think.
So when she's punishing him after that stunt, he has a line. He's like, "Can I use a Q-tip on the inside of my ear?" That was his big thing. Like she was berating him. It's cute.
Well, because she's saying he needs to be safer. That's what his response is. Yeah, it's cute. But anyway, what happens? Who strolls into this flight school? Who strolls in?
Cat people.
To Ditch Brody's life. It is not only, it is Natasha Kinski herself looking cute and looking like a little innocent flight student that's just curious about parachuting. And Ditch Brody was like, "Sure, I'll teach this woman. I'll take her on. I'll take her up." But you know, you have to go through the rules. You have to do everything properly. But she wants to jump today.
It's the dash of blonde. It's like the little blonde dash in her hair that really kind of escalates everything.
But she's like, "You know, I don't know how to do this stuff. Like, but I would love to jump today." And he's trying to be a little bit cautious. She convinces him to take her up that day, right?
Yeah. And there's a poster on the wall in his office of a tandem jump, and it's a guy basically humping a lady on the way down.
Yes.
And he's trying to flirt with her, and he's also talking to one of his buddies at the flight school about how he's going to make good work of her over the course of the next few hours.
Yeah, he says he's going to, they'll be kicking the stuffed animals off her bed by 9:30. But the thing about it is she doesn't want to tandem jump. That's how he prefers to do it for the first time, just for her, actually for the student's safety. But she's like, "Screw that. I want to have the full experience. I want to jump by myself."
And why does she want to do that?
What's happening here is she's setting up for Charlie Sheen and this flight school because she is going to do a rope-a-dope and fake her own death.
200%.
So they go up. He gets distracted by Melvin Van Peebles, who's flying the plane, I believe.
It happens, man.
He turns around and she is not in the plane anymore, and she is on her way down and not with a pair. I don't know if she even has a parachute on, does she?
I don't think, well, she must, but the body is going hard down there. This is after she calls him a walking penis and he corrects her. One of the great lines in the movie.
Says he's a flying penis.
"I'm not just a walking penis. I'm a flying penis too."
So she plummets to the earth and just kerplats. Like, it, actually, it's kind of a weird thing to see a body hit. They show the body hitting the dirt. Now, it doesn't look like it hits that hard. Basically, the movie's telling you this person is dead. Charlie Sheen is his worst nightmare. He lands because he successfully deploys his parachute. He's sick.
The last second, he tries to save her. He tries hard
to save her. And he's sick. And then he starts to kind of get, I don't know, a little suspicious about all this stuff. He starts
Well,
to
her body, you know what her body reached on the way down?
What?
Terminal velocity. What? The maximum speed you can fall.
anyway, so he starts to get suspicious. He looks in her locker that she put her stuff in. He starts to kind of do, I don't know why, but he does a little PI work. He's going to get in trouble. That's the thing. He's going to maybe get arrested over this. Margaret Collins is very upset at him.
But not that much, really.
He's Ditch.
Did you read who was going to play this part?
Margaret Collins?
No, who were the original people they courted for Charlie Sheen?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise and Michael Douglas and Nicolas Cage. But number four on everyone's list after those three, Charlie Sheen.
Can you imagine Michael Douglas in this movie with a parachute?
I can certainly imagine the scene where his ass is hanging out when he lands.
I'm just trying to picture him in this movie. That's incredible. I wish they made it with him. Can you imagine
I'm not just a walking saggy penis and saggy balls. I'm a flying saggy penis and saggy balls.
I mean, he'd be definitely flirting with Natasha. That'd be the one thing that would be believable
yeah.
in this.
Oh, he would. Yeah, he'd be the first guy to have an affair in mid-fall. Somehow fall his way into a body, dick-wise. He starts to figure things out. He's like, this is strange. He goes to her apartment.
He does.
And he is attacked by who?
Christopher McDonald.
With a peroxide-infused hairstyle, acting intense as hell. His eyes darting around like a lizard, never making eye contact with somebody.
I love him in this movie. He's known for being a comedic actor. Most people know him for being Happy Gilmore in Happy Gilmore as Shooter McGavin.
That's very rude to not... I mean, Thelma and Louise was my falling in love with him moment.
He played...
You get your butt back here, Thelma, now! Yeah,
he's all over the place. Like, he's great. Anyway, before that, though, Charlie Sheen puts his hand on a picture frame. What's in it?
His gymnast photo?
No, it's a picture of Natasha Kinski parachuting.
Oh, okay.
He's like, what the? She told me she was a novice at this shit, and she's over
there. You find out, though, that he was an Olympian, a gymnast, or before
that.
That's
a funny backstory for him.
Amazing. Because Charlie Sheen is one of our stiffest actors, literally one of our stiffest actors,
right?
Physicality-wise.
Sure, sure.
And I love that about him. The least poseable and bendable of all.
And then they put his face on, like, actual gymnasts and pictures and stuff and magazine covers. But the big thing was he's all bummed out because the year they canceled the Olympics.
They
boycotted it. He was gonna go for the gold, and he trained, and then he's been licking his wounds ever since. Natasha Kinski later is like, why not? You're young enough. Why don't you do it the next, 4 years later? And he's like, I don't want to set myself up for that kind of disappointment again. So I started jumping out of planes. Nothing in this movie would ever, he did nothing to tell you that he was a gymnast in this. There's no remnants of his past.
Well, he does this plane trick later in the movie.
What does he do?
Where he sits, he like crawls onto the wing, and then the pilot, Rance Howard, flips it over so he could be in a position. And then he's hanging onto a plane, which is impossible. There's a lot of impossible, but let's go back a little bit because, yes, he is visited by somebody pretending to be a member of the local law enforcement agency, and it's James Gandolfini, who is a delight in this movie, with a voice I've never heard him use in a movie before. Very kind of lighter, a little bit more affected. He has this nervousness to him, this persona that he's portraying. And then he obviously turns out to be a super baddie and speaking Russian and all that stuff. But this and True Romance really were, and Get Shorty to a lesser extent, really kind of, he came out swinging. And this movie, he's one of those high points in this.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that was just so good in character, like smaller roles. Like, he always was very memorable. Then they gave him that lead in The Sopranos, and he just crushed it. I don't know, did you know he was in that? Let's zoom in. One of my favorite lines comes up around this time. You know, Charlie Sheen discovers that Natasha Kinski is not dead. This plane keeps buzzing overhead, and he's like, "Why are you? What are you buzzing me for?" He's so mad that there's a plane that is kind of buzzing over his head all the time that he goes to investigate, and that's when he finds her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has this line where he says, "I guess he's talking to who's this guy that's with her?" And he says, "I think she did for bullshit what Stonehenge did for rocks." Stonehenge.
Yes,
that had to be Tui, right?
Yeah, he also calls her a wet dream. This wet dream walks in. What am I gonna do? You know.
But Charlie Sheen, like, his whole time, there's bodies falling from the sky. There's Russian agents. Their lives are in danger, and he's having a blast. His character is like smiling the whole movie, cracking.
I mean,
wise. The
only thing he's anguished, upset about but is his car gets hurt. He's funny anguished. He's funny anguished. Yeah.
His car gets destroyed, and he gets so upset about it.
Did you notice that when he's watching that, he's replaying a video cassette, that's where he finds out there were two planes? It's one of the things that kind of clues him into Natasha. It's making Atari 2600 sounds when he's slow motioning it. It makes me very happy.
But yeah, that's when he finds out.
Little zoom for you.
the body that did hit the ground is her roommate's. That was that she had like switched. She wanted to fake her death, and she plopped in her roommate, threw out of a plane straight onto her face. I guess so. They
her teeth are chiclets. Charlie Sheen says he calls her teeth chiclets.
So him and Gandolfini, before he's uncovered as a bad guy, they share some certs.
Which is one of the like the number one thing I remember from this movie. I hate it.
You hate certs?
No, I love certs. I miss certs dearly.
Are they not around anymore?
I don't
anymore?
Like the way. No, I don't like the way James Gandolfini offers him a certs. It's singular when you're offering
he says
one,
you want
right?
A certs, and then Charlie Sheen refuses at first, then takes him up on it, and then James Gandolfini says, "Don't take them all."
Yeah, it's great because Gandolfini's overcrunching on the cert.
They're both
overcrunching.
They're both.
Well, then Charlie Sheen, yeah, changes in and he starts overcrunching. But when you eat one, it's a cert.
I mean, zoom in. You savor that stuff. You don't want to crunch.
100%. I can still taste them. I still taste that Redson.
They're mint, and wasn't there a cinnamon flavor as well?
There was like seven flavors, but remember, a drop of Redson. I think we've talked about it on the show. A drop of Redson in every one.
What's Redson?
That was the singular ingredient of certs that made it special was Redson. R-E-T-S-Y-N. How do you not know?
I'm looking up certs. Is it still around?
Which I could still taste the blue one.
Oof. Certs was a brand of breath mint.
I wasn't lying when I said that Certs was gone.
Discontinued 2018.
And this was after getting bought. I have done a lot of Certs research over my day.
I wonder why. You think Certs still has a place in people's hearts? You got
Certs
back.
Probably we need it now more than ever, I'm thinking.
I think it's the name that maybe was hurting people.
I don't think so. Certs. There's stuff with way worse names out there. Jesus Christ.
Someone got rich off certs. It's amazing. And they cashed it in. They said, you know, fuck it. No more certs. I'm taking it away. You guys, you're not buying it as much? Fuck you. They're off the market forever. I'm going to sit in my house, my mansion.
Did you know any certs brokers in your middle school or high school?
No, but people in my middle school sold now and laters. That was the big candidate.
There was always that guy in the class who had a bag full, like a gym bag full of snacks they'd sell to you. Certs were 50 cents a tube.
Ours were now and laters got sold at school. And then everybody got in trouble. And then later on, it was caffeine pills that people were selling at my school. Then later, it was actual
bullets.
Drugs, I think. But
then it was their sexual body. Is this Susie, my Time Life operator? Another line that destroys me.
Anyway, after they meet, she's got this partner that I guess is, I don't, that guy's recognizable too. Is that who you said at the beginning?
Yeah, he looks like John Cleese after the grave.
So he gets killed. Like, he gets shot point blank. Like
he gets
kind of a
Gandolfini
sniper.
Killed.
Just after a partner dies, Charlie Sheen asks her, they're not going to damage my car, are they? After a partner gets killed, he says this to her. What do you think of the G-face acting here? G-force face acting.
Oh my God, it's amazing. He's never looked more like Balthazar Getty in that. You know,
so there's a guy that has been making these kind of experimental things like these, I don't know, I guess planes and stuff, and they seek they take refuge in this guy's like warehouse, and that guy gets killed.
Yeah, that's quite a bit later.
No, I'm just jumping ahead. Okay. This is where the G-Force thing comes in. He's got this experimental thing on a track.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they escape. They get in this little pod and they crush their way down this railroad track. And that's they get all these G-Forces. And it looks crazy, but Charlie Sheen
it's so fun. It's so much fun.
He looks amazing. Yeah.
And there's this great shot of when he finally pulls the eject and they go flying past the camera screaming. So great. But before that, Natasha Kinski has Charlie Sheen parachute into this facility. There's a zoom coming up in a minute. But
great.
He parachutes in and she's talking to him on his headset. And his first response is this Susie, my Time Life operator? Which I thought was adorable. Because you remember back those commercials back in the old days. But she has him go into this rigmarole through this building. It's funny because he finds out that she was employee of the month there, which explains why she knew the place. He steals this item, and then Christopher McDonald, and there's a character who's a villain whose entire character is he's got a cigarette in his mouth. That's his entire character. And they chase Charlie Sheen. There's a great line where Charlie Sheen goes to this closet where she has this MacGuffin hidden.
Right.
And there's and she's like, all right, now remove the clothes hanger bar. And he's like, no, I'm already there. I see the safe on the bottom. She goes, don't worry about that. It's only there to distract idiots. It's such a great line. But, okay, so here's what's amazing. So he runs up to the scaffolding, the very top of this building, while Christopher McDonald's chasing him. Christopher McDonald screams, ditch Brody! He screams it at him. And Charlie Sheen jumps off of the building with a parachute. And it is an identical scene from Yor, The Hunter from the Future.
It is?
Has to be a reference to me.
What's the scene in Yor?
The only scene in Yor, The Hunter from the Future that matters is where he grabs the Beast of the Night, hits it with it, he hits it with a rock or something, and then hang glides to safety with it.
Not a movie I've ever seen.
Well, there's this, as children, there's one scene in that movie that justifies its entire existence, and it's where Yor, The Hunter from the Future, Reb Brown, is him and this old guy, like on this rock, and this lady's captured or whatever it is. They look up and there's this stiff winged creature, and the old man goes, the Beast of the Night approaches or whatever, and then Reb Brown hits it with a rock and then rides its body down. The music is playing this Oliver Onions song. That's the best. Seriously, it's the best moment of all. It's the best. We'll do it. It'll be the last episode, which is like, what, 220? And then it escalates because they escape from that. Obviously, the bad guys are chasing them throughout the rest of the movie. There's, you know, you talk about the scene where his car gets destroyed. Do you remember what's so funny about that scene?
Oh,
good. They're all shooting. They're shooting at them, right? And she gives him a gun, and he pulls the trigger, and it doesn't work. And he goes, "Oh, it's broken." And she's, you remember his line delivery of that's amazing. But the best is when they're shooting his car a billion times, and there's a slight pause in the gunfire, and you hear Charlie Sheen going, "Jesus Christ!" It's so funny. It's so much fun.
Christopher McDonald.
He's the damsel. He is the damsel in distress in this movie, basically.
For sure. And then Christopher McDonald also has a car that he loves. Like that he's obsessed
Cadillac
with this
Galante, baby.
Yeah, it's convertible. And that's kind of the scene that people remember from this movie is that car gets driven out of a jumbo jet, I guess, right? Like a Charlie Sheen reverses it out.
Did you see they used 26 different Cadillacs for that in this movie, and they just fully destroyed 6 or 9 of them? Because that stunt's real.
Yeah, it's a crazy scene. Yeah, and I mean, so yeah, that's the thing is that the stunts in this look great. You know, I think this is, like I said, after Point Break came out, which had a lot of great kind of parachuting scenes, and this one's no slouch. People are really
except when it cuts to Charlie Sheen, and then it's the most blue screen shit you'll ever see, but it's still great.
But yeah, so the premise of this thing is that Charlie Sheen is trying to rescue Natasha Kinski, who is in the trunk of this Escalade, right? In the back of this plane, and he just destroys, he backs it, he reverses that out of the plane with her in the trunk.
Well, it's because Christopher McDonald's shooting at him. He has nowhere to go.
Yeah, he's shooting at him, yeah. But what he has to do then is climb to the trunk, get her out, and she doesn't have a parachute.
That scene takes forever, too. Him trying to get the key in the lock on the way, because he tries to use the trunk button knob, and he breaks it off. And then he has to go hanging onto this car as it's tumbling through the air.
I'm glad it didn't work. What if it did work? She flops out of it.
Hell yeah. Terminal of the loss, man.
But yeah, he's trying to get the key in the lock, and he's having trouble because they're plummeting the Earth at terminal velocity. And it's a stressful scene, actually. It's a great scene. Christopher McDonald, by the way, does not make it. He clings to his car as it goes out of the plane.
He gives it a fair shake, though. He tries. He
keeps
live.
Shooting. He, as he's dying, as he's flying away, isn't he shooting at him still?
Yeah.
Which is a good
We
commitment.
Never see his body hit the ground. So what I love about this scene is that, so the airplane has a bunch of gold in it. The Russian ex-KGB, the KGB used to be people like Gandolfini and all those guys. They're trying to get away with it. They're going to sell it. It's been shot, so it has to land. So you're thinking that Gandolfini is going to show up some point later, getting off the plane that he was on. But what's great is Charlie Sheen, they kill, Chris McDonald gets, you know, destroyed. They get Natasha Kinski out of the Cadillac before it hits the ground, and then they parachute through these wind turbines to safety. And they're starting to hug, and who has parachuted behind them but James Gandolfini?
And doesn't he kick them?
Yeah, he lands at them and starts, there's a big fight. He sticks a knife in Natasha's bell. Yeah. It's a great little scene, and I love that. I mean, it's a cool scene. The idea of he seems like an unrelenting villain in a lot of respects, until he's not.
This is kind of similar to some Point Break, this scene, a little bit, I think. Don't they fight, too? Isn't there some kind of parachuting? Isn't Keanu Reeves at the end of the movie dives out of the plane without a parachute?
There's some fighting in the sky.
And then they land, and then him and Patrick Swayze fight in the dirt. It's similar. What's not similar is the wind turbines claim a victim.
Jimmy Gand.
Charlie Sheen manages to pull his chute. It launches him into the turbines, and he gets served up like Anthony Perkins did in The Black Hole. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, good pull. Yeah, it's great.
He gets blenderized.
So it was 2 years after Point Break.
I mean, I think Point Break
two and a half years.
Out in 91. Three years.
Pack your bags, we're going on a guilt trip. Another one of his great lines in this movie. It's cute, man. There's so much cute stuff.
It's a cute movie. Unfortunately, it's not available to stream. You had to rent it or buy it. You probably bought it.
I bought it. I did.
I rented it, but it's too bad. This is a perfect Tubi movie. I will say it. You heard it here first.
No, it's Tubi. It's Tubi. But no, so it's got a lot of cool little cute things that happen. It's fun. The action scenes are adequately directed. I think the guy that did it did Death Warrant or something. He did one of Van Damme's movies too, I think. It's Serafian or whatever his name is. And his father did Vanishing Point, which was cool to hear.
Who's more successful?
Probably Darren Serafian.
He's still out here.
He did Death Warrant. And Gunman.
Hemlock Grove. I think he's a big TV guy. I think he like does a lot of TV directing and stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's done some great things. I mean, you always talk about Wisdom of the Crowd.
Yeah, let's see what he did here.
Episodes of House, episodes of Lost, episode of Fringe, Nikita, you know, Rosewood, Blue Bloods, Swamp Thing.
He did the movie To Die For, you know, the version that everybody talks about, not the Van Sant movie. I wonder how mad he was whenever they took his title. He did Back in the USSR. Remember that movie?
Vaguely.
I think it's a bunch of, is it little kids go over there or something? Frank Whaley star, by the way.
And Gunman was a movie that I think Micah liked.
Oh, that's it's a Mario Van Peebles movie.
All the best. So I would say Darren Serafian's a bigger success than his father. You know, obviously there's this little subplot of Charlie Sheen was always chasing Russian gold, and he finally gets it at the end where they go to Moscow. They actually filmed it in Moscow. He is awarded a heroic medal because he is heroic. He goes out of his way to save her in that Atalante. Most people would have given up. Most people would not have hung on to the back of a plane.
No.
You got to give him credit. Ditch Brody, put his money where his mouth is.
And she had been talking about her past with him, and she thought he was lying. He thought she was lying because she kept talking about her three-legged dog. And he's like, give me a break. Everything's a sob story. And that three-legged dog shows up at the end.
It doesn't just show up.
It's like Tambov or something is the dog's name.
But he calls it Tripod. It doesn't just show up. They freeze frame. When he sees the dog, that's how the movie ends. It freeze frames, and then it dissolves to them and the three-legged dog walking off into the sunset with Moscow behind them.
Of course. And then
amazing.
But not before he says this whenever they hand him that award. Remember what he says, that line?
He says something about being an asshole or something.
Hey, so now I gotta go update the old glory board.
He speaks some bad Russian in this funny subtitle. He also does this saluting joke with the crowd, which I forgot was from this movie. I thought it was from Hot Shots.
He's so good in Hot Shots, by the way. This reminded me of Hot Shots for some reason, even though that's a truly it's a parody of those movies, and it's a true comedic performance. But he's incredible in those movies.
The thing about Charlie Sheen is that he is a gifted comic actor. I mean, obviously, Two and a Half Men was a huge hit, mm-hmm. but The Rookie, those movies, he is better served, and it's unfortunate that he became a pseudo leading man because he's better served as a comedic foil. And I know he went crazy and off the rails for a stretch there.
He's back though.
He's back.
With Chuck Lorre.
And when he in his glory board years, he was really special.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It reminded me of Kilmer and Top Secret, right? Like,
exactly.
It's just like they're so good in those movies. They're so funny, and then they're so good looking that they get naturally cast in.
I mean, Kilmer is way better, obviously. But even Men at Work, there's some good. There's stuff to like in that movie. I think don't sleep on Chuck Sheen is what I'm saying. Because The Chase is another one where he's funny.
He's got a girl in it too.
Mia?
No,
not a fan. Oh, Chrissy Swans. I was thinking of Cuffs, another classic.
I never saw The Chase or Chase or whatever it is.
I liked it because it had a bunch, I think it had Henry Rollins and Flea. Like, it had a bunch of musicians from the time in it,
and
too.
They're bad guys in it, right? Yeah. Chrissy Swanson just was, kind of everywhere for, a period of 5 or 6 years.
And it was a wonderful time. It's a fun movie. I would say, you know, I think one of our beloveds on Instagram kind of ripped the movie a little bit. I think it's a charming, kind of fun little 90s action flick.
I think certainly it's been forgotten. Like, there's no way, there's not a lot of people that aren't our age, I think, that are going to remember this movie existed. So it'd be a fun one to dig up for people.
So let's bump it up to the credits now. What did you see? Did you see anything good in the old credits there?
Some people in the credits, some good names. Did you see anybody?
Quite a few. Give me some initials.
You know, Halloween just passed. And you know who my favorite character in the Halloween movies. I haven't said it. T.L.
I don't have it.
Trevor Loomis.
Oh, okay. Trevor Loomis. Okay, cool. My favorite. It's a hotly contested thing. I really did like SN.
Who's SN? I don't have it.
Steve New.
I did have.
God damn it, Justin.
There's a guy that actually helped out with the scripting of this. Tui, he's uncredited, but he helped, and Tui threw him a bone in the credits. He worked on the movie. Got a little GP in here.
Don't have it.
Instrumental of this. A little Greg Plotz in this.
You know, this person was a line producer on the film, which is somebody who goes over the financing, you know, keeps track of the money. And they were able to get to the root of a question that all of us are asking. Do you get BW?
I don't have a BW.
He found out what a BJ worth.
Yeah, you out of Cindy's, Nick?
Huh?
You out of Cindy's? Are you out? You low on Cindy's?
No.
Got a little CS in here if you need it.
Who's that?
Cindy's shop.
I got plenty of Cindy's.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. Well, when you get low.
By the way, I don't know if you know, if you could drag your mouse on your computer, right? You could drag it to the power icon, change the power settings or anything like that if you want if you're tired of it being on. Do you ever bump into MS?
No.
Mr. Shutoff. There's somebody in the credits. Mr. Shutoff.
Is it a company?
No, it's a man. He played the Russian premier, Mr. Shutoff.
Pretty incredible, actually.
See, I mean, you could drag your icon to the power, or you could just use it.
Good. Do you, Nick, how scared are you, like, when it comes to full moons and people turning?
Not at all.
Full moons and you hear a howl.
No, not even worried.
Will you ever just walk and then you don't hear a howl, but you hear, like, a grumble?
Okay.
Kind of a muttering and, like, you know, this life sucks. But you might have bumped into MW, Mark Wolffrank. He hasn't turned into the Wolf Man, my friend.
No.
Wolf Frank.
Okay.
He's a huge hot dog fan.
Did you happen to ever interact with one of the pink ladies?
I mean, yes.
I bumped into a few in my day.
Okay. You know? Yeah, of course.
Including Sandy. And I was asking her how her summer was, and she just dropped some initials at me. DT. Okay. Huh. It's like Danny T's. Danny T's all summer, man.
You ever walk into a bathroom and you start slipping, sliding around you? What the... I mean, this is ridiculous, and you're just like, what happened in here? You're like, I know it's a bathroom. What happened in here? Yo, LPW in this.
Nope.
Lynn P. War.
See, I thought DL happened there.
it was DL.
Dion Leak.
What the hell happened in here?
One of my, you know, Chuck E. Cheese kind of has the market share on animatronic, anthropomorphic creatures feeding kids.
Okay, fair enough.
But one of the lesser known characters isn't worked on this one. You see JDK?
I don't have JDK.
Jeffrey D. Nat, animatronic bug bizzing around, making
bizzing?
Kids full.
Speaking of the bathrooms, there was like a P-War dropped in there as well, Chuck E. Cheese bathrooms. They ever clean them? Come on, I'll call them out. My favorite name, I don't have the story for, but I have an A.M. Ann Mon, M-O-N-N, little Ann Mon.
That's your favorite one.
I love it. What a great last name. Is Ann Mon coming over tonight?
I like Bobby Bass. I had Bobby Bass. I like that one.
He sounds like a singing fish, like those little,
Billy Bass and Sopranos.
Billy Bass, yeah.
All right, guys, we've changed it up. The work is a little different now. You know, we added the Millennium Falcon. We added the credits. We subtracted the mantra. And we're kind of combining the sequel and the stinger, and we're adding a new thing called Fistine, which is a reference to a 2000 or 1999 thread on the Chud message boards based on a conversation me and one of our beloveds had in San Diego where we would do porn versions of movie titles. And it still gets updated 24 years later. So we're going to do a 15 version of every movie that we do on the show. Now, I remember doing Seminal Velocity for this on 15, so I can't use that one.
That's the natural one. That's the go-to.
But do you have anything? Because I have two efforts.
Are we starting with 15?
Let's try it. Let's start it off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to brag, but I'm actually really good at this. I'm still active in that forum. I think I'm probably one of the best people that do it. I'm great at this. So my poor name is Terminal V-Ass Titty. Yeah, I crushed it. You heard me? You heard me? What? Is there any other choice? Terminal V-Ass Titty. I killed it. I'm ashamed of myself.
I did Vaginal Viscosity.
You had two.
Well, I couldn't reuse. The other one is, it doesn't roll off the tongue. Two anal fissure scene. Doesn't roll off the tongue. Look, you've been asked to get a tattoo from Terminal Velocity on your body. What are you going to put there, man?
I mean, I'm going to get initials, TNMABO. You know what I'm saying? TNMABO.
Sure.
Walking around loud and proud, you know, with that on my shoulder. Two, he never made a bad one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's something I believe in, actually. I mean, Chronicles is not great, maybe, but I do love the effort.
I remember when we used to be email buddies back during my little movies days when I was...
You and Chewie.
Yeah, and I remember that his email name was David and then two letter E's.
Oh, really?
A little pun. He had a little pun in his email handle.
What a cutie. I forever love him.
So
she's still killing it. Wish he was around all the time doing
He's stuff. Doing Furia, man. He's going to nail it.
I hope so.
So I've got a facsimile of the Tandem Jump poster from Charlie Sheen's office with the, you know, the Mad Magazine style illustration of two people jumping out of a plane, yeah, fucking. The only thing I've changed is the sexual partners in the front getting sexually sexed is Charlie Sheen. Oh, okay. And then in the back delivering the sex, also Charlie Sheen.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so it's...
I'm sure he'd prefer it that way, yeah. Yeah, I like
that. Look, man, too. You've got a stingle. What is money's under thing? As money's
so
under
can
as.
Can you do like an either or? You could do a stingle or a sequel.
Yeah, stingle.
I'm gonna do a sequel.
Okay, you have every right.
Because they should have made one.
You're right.
They eradicated the baddies. There's no more Russian agents, right? They solved the problem.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, planes start dropping from the sky.
Oh fuck!
Parachutes don't open, Nick. The sky is poisoned, man. You can't. For some reason, flight's not working.
What are you, M. Night, with this ridiculous plot?
Terminal Velocity, the air hates. You know what I'm saying? That is what they're up against in this one. The air no longer lets flight happen. And Charlie Sheen is the second sport that he can't do anymore. Sends him straight to the drink. Natasha Kinski is like, who cares? We can drive still. It's fine. Because there's no birds anymore. You know, he's like crying. Birds are dead.
Bird feeders are on the ground with the bird bath.
He's just drinking. He's upset. She keeps trying to get him motivated. Like, look, we got kids now. You know, we're a family. He's like, fuck it. Fuck that family, you know? Yeah, it's just what it's about. They're trying to solve the sky in this one.
Or poor fly fisherman, man. Mine is a sequel as well. Unfortunately, Gandolfini's blood haunted the windmill. His blood seeped into
the... I'm the one that has the M. Night one? I'm the one. Me?
His blood in the turbine got in there and haunted it. And so the problem is that shit's generating power, solar power. So people's homes are getting electrocuted by Gandolfini's blood ghost.
You imagine Tui walks into the studio. I got two ideas for sequels.
The air hates. Look, you've been asked to have a business associated with terminal velocity. Money is all over your body. How do you use it?
I mean, this is something I thought of. You know, you ever go to the eye doctor and you have to test your eyes? That's a number of ways. But they make you look at stuff and they make you look at an eye chart. Mm-hmm. And they got the letters that go from big to small. I don't know if you're familiar with the charts.
Yeah.
I'm replacing those letters with scenes, big to smaller, tiny, you know, screen cap scenes from the movie Terminal Velocity. And I ask the people to describe what they can see on the first row and then what they can see in the last row. Person in the last row goes, is that the scene they cut out where the roommate gets punched to death by her fish? And I know you got 20/20, you know?
Yeah.
I'm replacing eye charts.
I mean, the only logical thing, I'm bringing certs back. Certs are back.
Give me some flavors.
Well, I mean, they're all named after characters or actors from Terminal Velocity, you know?
Yes.
Gandolfini is a flavor. Yeah.
I get it. You know, each one comes with a drop of rants. And...
Either way, McDonald's. It's a mint that deserves another life, and I'm using Terminal Velocities. That's a flavor of food, McDonald's.
Peebles.
Fruity Peebles?
Hey, man, I'll backtrack. McDonald's is a flavor, bro. It's a fresh flavor. It tastes great.
What is this delightful thing coursing with retsin that is hitting my umami right now? Oh, that's roommate nip. That's our new flavor. It's pretty good. Look, you're in the movie. You've been added to the running time of Terminal Velocity. What shape does your performance take?
I walk in and I start shaming the parachute instructors. So I start shaming Margaret Collins' character. I'm like, you're still on this shit? You guys are doing it. I pick up one of the parachutes and hold the fabric in my hand. I go, what is this? Are you serious? This is so old. And then I pull out from my gigantic bag a huge leather, black leather parachute. You got to get with the leather parachutes. I'm selling badass parachutes.
Yeah, that plummet.
And Colin's like, these, do they work? No.
But they look good.
Work, but they're badass, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think they wouldn't work?
A leather parachute? No. By the way, heavier than your body and...
You need a parachute for the parachute. Yeah, that's what I'd say. I said, look, yeah, they don't work right, but you have to put an actual parachute on this bad boy. But just do a see-through. Just do a clear parachute because you wanted the parachute down in style.
Yeah.
Black leather. What do you think?
And then, well, I think it, the next day after the first beta test, you're reselling them as suicide coats.
What, are you afraid to die? These things are badass. got zippers. You got like, you know how people like, I'd cut up, what did people do with leather coats? They put like all sorts of shit on them.
It'd be funny, you drive past a field and you hear a cow moo and you could tell it's saying, please don't turn me into a parachute. So I am.
And then Gandolfini's blood ghost goes, that shit's fucked up. That's messed up.
By the way, that's another Shyamalan fucking leather parachute. He saw Jordan Peele. He's like, I can do that. I'm Charlie. I'm Ditch Brody's arch rival. I work at a competing jumping school. I'm also a former gymnast. I've also lost a customer to a horrible death. Find out that customer is the great granddaughter of Jake Connolly's character from Mulholland.
Oh no!
So, it runs in the family. But I don't get involved in a Russian plot. So during the events of this, I'm just kind of chilling out, having a dube, playing some Super NES, you know, chilling out. I'm as cool as Ditch Brody, though, no doubt. My name's not as cool. Mountain Kuykendall.
What?
Not as cool as Ditch Brody.
Mountain's a pretty good first name. Did you see how they got Ditch? Do you remember his explanation?
He didn't like Dick.
Rich and Dick got slammed up into Ditch. That's what he says.
Yeah.
How?
It doesn't matter. What would you say is the Millennium Falcon of this movie? There's one answer.
Let's hear it.
It's a Cadillac.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree with you on this one.
Could be the sky.
Close second. McDonald's hair is pretty iconic.
Shit.
I mean, you know what I remembered? The car and then the big fans, the big turbines. But we'll stick with the car. I see the look of disappointment in your face.
No, I'm thinking her blonde streak.
What happened to her? She's still out there?
What about the tequila worm?
Oh, she drinks a tequila worm in this. That's right.
Top five tequila worms seen in a movie in Hollywood history. I can think of two. The best one is...
Poltergeist, number one.
Poltergeist 2. That's the best one. And then Terminal Velocity, yeah. But that Poltergeist 2 one is the best. What a cutie that comes out. What a cutie. Remember the cutie?
That's when I first learned about those things.
Something else.
It was a cutie. He barfed it out.
And it got bigger and bigger and bigger and cuter.
It became a man.
It super did. Nathan, what was the actor's name? Nathan something or other.
I don't know, but he died soon after.
Yeah, he did. He left the world, but man, he left with a mark, that cute little guy that came out.
Well, I love that he decided he was going to drop like this iconic, scary performance and then just check out. It did my work. I was a creep.
What was his last name? Julian Beck. I was close.
Is he American?
He's Dedekin. You mean he can't be? He's American.
Is he? Where is he from?
Yeah. New York. He died in 85. He left. He left, man. The movie came out after his death.
Yeah, he's like, I did my work. I was perfect. Now I'm going to move on to other realms. He was an absolute insane freak in that movie.
Yeah, there's a reason they didn't do a Josh Gad Reunited Apart episode for the Poltergeist series. They're all fucking dead.
One girl got murdered. The older sister got murdered.
Griffin Dunn, Dominic Dunn. You got Heather O'Rourke took the shit. Julian Beck wandered off into the sunset. Coach Zelda Rubinstein's fucking ruined.
Yeah, but Coach's still out there.
Craig T.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Beth's
still out there.
What's the boy's name? Oliver something?
You remember, huh?
Robbins. Oliver Robbins.
That movie terrified me. I think that movie is responsible for lots and lots of nightmares.
The second one?
Our age. Or the first one.
Second one's pretty good, too, though.
Second one was good. I never saw the third one, I don't think.
Sucked. Scarlett and Nancy Allen. Sucked. Saw it opening night. I was so excited. Well, she was gone. That's the movie that took her.
And they brought the guy back. They brought Beck back for that, and he was gone. They brought his image back, I think.
Did they really? I thought you were being
someone that looks like him.
You're an island. You've been gathering debris all this many years. Now it's time to take something from TV.
I have this weird note in my notes that says bird on a shoe. Is there a bird that's on his shoe in this movie at some point that he's trying to kick off?
I do not remember such a thing.
If there is a bird on his shoe, I want that bird on my island. But I just can't remember what I was referring to. What would you take?
There's a few things that come to mind.
Take one. What do they call them? The turbines?
Mm-hmm.
I'd take one of those. Just plop it on my island. Just use it as a fan, though, you know, other than just hook up just to use it for a cool breeze. Every once in a while, fling a coconut at it to cut it in half, something like that. I'm going to take one of those gigantic turbines.
And now, if it spins by and you see some blood on there, mark my words. I was thinking about taking the air.
Ooh, it's a good choice.
And having that air serve as my air.
I like this.
But I think what I'm going to do is a little entertainment for my denizens, a little photo booth on the island for people to go in and snap a little cute four photos. Because remember, Natasha Kinski goes in there when Charlie Sheen's at the bar and takes a proof of life photograph to exonerate him. In the context of the island, there will be no exonerations. It'll be, the world is your oyster, nothing's off limits, go on and have some damn fun in there. Take whatever, you know, piece of body, take whatever you want in there with you.
What does that mean?
Take whatever you want into the photo booth. It's public domain, game out. As a matter of fact, I've renamed it the Glory Booth. And you can go in there and get ripped out for your heart's content, you know?
Sounds like you've got a history with photo booths. You get a little frisky in one or something.
I've been in my share of photo booths. I don't know about frisk.
You got a little kissing in there.
I know I used to wear a mask in them. I had a decaying creature mask that I would...
I was thinking.
I would take decaying mask photos, if that's what you're talking about.
Now we're talking. I never really did much of that, the photo, the strip pics, whatever. They're going to come out in threes or something.
Yeah, you know, it was like, four. Yeah. Come on. Don't
every
even
once in a while
it.
They'll do like, yeah, four. They'll do them at like a wedding. Every once in a while they'll do something like that.
It's become hip again to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'll notice I'll send you in a bottle, little roll of photos from time to time, drifting right to your island from mine.
With
a little four shot in there. You're like, I did not need to see that. That's your common response. I did not need to see that.
Curling those things at my fan.
Did not need to see that one constantly.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid to open them. Is that what you're thinking? Is it thinking I'm afraid to take the little gray top off of the? Is that what you're sending me? The little black canister with the gray top?
No, it's like a message in a bottle, except it's a roll of photographs. Yeah.
So we describe this bottle to me.
A nondescript bottle that you would normally have maybe rum in.
And then it floats towards me?
I throw it, and the current drifts that way.
Well, and I have a great idea. Turn my turbine fan towards it and blow it back towards you. You can't overcome. Keep those things away from me, those picks. You have to find a new system because I have the perfect foil for your system.
And I have the perfect foil for your system.
What?
The air hates. All of a sudden, your turbine ain't doing dog dick in the woods. You got nothing going on. Your turbine is air hated, and the water float comes right at you, and you get your first of many Georgie centerfolds.
Damn it, I did it to myself. The air does hate. I'm sitting there drinking the empty bottle of rum with pictures in it, drowning my sorrows in creepy pictures because the air hates. All the birds are walking.
Stepping into